Well, hey there, Sean. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So, what time were we supposed to record this podcast?
Okay, I have a feeling this is a loaded question because we may have missed that time. But if memory serves, back in pre-COVID days, we would try to record at around 10 a.m. And today we thought because we had so much news to cover, we would record at around noon.
Yes. And then because of said news, actually the proliferation of said news, that ended up getting pushed to, I think, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then the said proliferation of news continued to proliferate, thereby pushing the podcast record target time to 4 or so.
Or so became 5, for sure.
And what time is it now?
My clock says it's 6:30.
Yeah. So, as deeply frustrating as it is for me to have to stay up all night and edit this podcast after we're done recording, this is actually a great opportunity because it sort of parallels the things that are going on with Wisconsin's election and how some people want to postpone it and others want to keep it going, and that is exactly what we're going to talk about on the podcast today.
John, there's a reason you got that degree in podcast segues, man. You're good.
Killing it.
Well, let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we talk about what the hell is going on with Wisconsin's election. Give me just a little more time. Run all over, show them. Give me just a little more time. Run all over, show them. And that, of course, is the chairman of the board with their 1970 hit, Give Me Just a Little More Time. And not only do the lyrics of that song sort of symbolically speak to the request for a little bit more time in Wisconsin's election, there actually was some legal wrangling with the songwriters of that song after they left the Motown record label. And it kind of parallels the legal wrangling that's going on with Wisconsin's election. So I thought it was a perfect song to use this week.
Oh, John, you said what everyone was thinking. I love it. I love the way that you can just, I don't know, you just, you seize what's in the universe and you just like, you put it into words.
You are a true poet of transitions, John.
Yeah, you're a poet. It's true. You and Meghan Trainor. and other poets, your special people.
So, guys, a lot of news happened this week and especially today. But I guess to start out, last week we were talking about we didn't quite know what was going to go on with Wisconsin's election because of the coronavirus. And here we are this week. And so much has happened with that. Where do we even start?
Yeah, we still don't really know what's going to happen with Wisconsin's election. I want to just start with this. As we record this podcast on Friday night, Wisconsin's election is happening. The April 7th election is happening. And so, you know, if you have any interest in being a part of that election, I hope you have made plans in some way. You can still send back absentee ballots, which we'll get into details of that in a bit. But just let's just say that at the outset, that as we record this, the election is happening. Now, where do we go from there? I'm not sure. Laurel, you got an idea?
I feel like, honestly, I'm like sitting here as we record this, holding my head because I feel like it's hard to say. There are so many kind of factors at play, whether things are going to go forward as we expect them to go forward right now. And I just kind of want to get into the nuances and the details of why I'm holding my head, like why it's so uncertain.
Okay.
Well, so like broad strokes here, where we were last podcast was that there was a collection of lawsuits, one of which was dismissed on podcast day, trying to postpone Wisconsin's elections, you know, arguing that there should be more time. Some of the lawsuits were, you know, specific requirements for things like signatures and voter ID and such. Where did things go from there?
So what happened after our podcast last week was over the weekend, actually, a federal judge combined all of the remaining federal lawsuits. So we had this conglomeration of arguments about the election, and it was to delay it, but also to lift some requirements that were there that some people said made it too onerous for people to participate in the election. And we've had a ruling in that combined effort now,
that was one thing to me. Like, it was, I didn't catch that piece of news immediately, mm-hmm. that they had been combined, and it wasn't something I was aware could happen, where a judge can just be like, whoop, all right, now all of these separate lawsuits are one globby big lawsuit.
Right, because they were all kind of related, right? It was sort of like taking a bunch of cousins and putting them all together at a family reunion and saying, we're just going to address everybody as a group.
I want to take, in a, since it's Friday night and and it's been a long week, I want to pull a big I told you so here, guys, which is so obnoxious. But I kept saying, like, really, it's just, Laurel, it's just one big election chaos story, right?
So true.
You're like, no, each story is special. Each case is different because you were more
to write a story about each one of the various lawsuits. Yeah, and
like
whatever.
Nobody's more attuned to every detail of these cases than Laurel White, who was actually cited in some legal briefs that were filed this week. So Laurel's like, no, everything, it's all different. And I'm like, no, it's one. And Judge Connolly was like, yeah, it's just one big case. I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for permitting me my I told you so moment.
It did. It all became one thing. And I think what's relevant for people to know is that when the judge combined all of these things and he issued a decision on them, which we just got on, gosh, was that Thursday?
Thursday. Also known as we record this, also known as yesterday.
Right. Or last year in COVID time.
Right.
The judge said that, you know, he wasn't okay with delaying the election, which one of the cases and the combined cases argued for. He said that he actually didn't think it was a federal judge's position to do that, but he did agree to some changes to the election, which are pretty important. He delayed the time frame for when people have to return their absentee ballots and also when clerks have to process them. So he kind of extended. He didn't delay the election in that people will still go under his order to the polling place on April 7th and cast their ballots. But he kind of extended it in a way in that mail-in ballots can't be processed or have to be accepted until April 13th, which is, you know, obviously
six days later,
almost a week later.
Noteworthy too, they don't have to be under his order, according to the Elections Commission. They don't have to be mail-in absentee ballots, and there's nothing that really requires them to be cast before Election Day, because they wanted the ballots to be postmarked. The Elections Commission wanted the ballots to be postmarked by Election Day, and they'd be okay with, you know, counting them up until April 13th. Connolly kind of rejected that part of their suggestion, and so they don't have to be postmarked by Election Day. So in theory, people that have absentee ballots could cast them after Election Day and hand deliver them to the clerk under his order.
And this is such a huge, like, this is a huge change. And I feel like for people that aren't following this incredibly closely, it might be easy to miss. But I feel like this set off a chain reaction of a late night emergency meeting by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because taking away this postmark for April 7th kind of raises some concerns for some people that individuals could vote on, say, April 8th or April 9th after election results are already being reported and change their vote. It kind of throws everything that we're used to on its side. And so there was additional guidance offered by the court today to kind of accommodate for that, right?
Yes. The court today issued a follow-up order, Judge Conley did, and he said, I think the big thing and he said is that clerks, you cannot tell people how the vote is going on election night. You can't release unofficial results until all these absentee ballots are counted. So you can't release unofficial results until after April 13th at 4 p.m. So on election night, when we're used to finding out the result of an election, we're going to have to wait another 6 days to let all of these absentee ballots come in and be counted by clerks all over Wisconsin. So it means we're just going to have to spread out those election night hot takes over the course of 6 days, really. And I'm going to be working really hard at that, personally.
It's going to be really hard to hold it back. I think it's important to mention for folks that, if it's not like readily apparent, the reason that this deadline is being extended until April 13th is that there have been some concerns about how quickly clerks have been releasing absentee ballots, getting them to people that request them, because of both a backlog of requests that they're getting. They're getting an incredibly huge number, just an unprecedented number of requests. And then the Postal Service is also pretty burdened during this time. People are figuring out who they want to vote for, sending them back, factoring in any delays that may be existing in the Postal Service on the way back as well. So there's just sort of this buffer that is being built in for that kind of transit process in this really unique time. So that's why it's being pushed to April 13th.
Just popping in from the future, I'm Future John. Friday night, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals issued a brief order upholding Judge Connolly's April 13th extension, but Republican leaders said they plan to appeal that order to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying they had concerns about votes potentially being postmarked after Election Day. Now back to the recent past. And so that's where we were earlier today.
Yeah.
And we
also like a year ago, it feels like.
right.
Getting back to our timeline of, continuing to push off our podcast recording time was that, that felt like, all right, now we sort of know about the results getting released, and we just have to wait till the 13th to figure out who won these various elections. But then at some point, I think it was Sean said, well, the governor is having a press conference at 1:30. We should probably listen to that and see what he has to say around that time before we record the podcast. And then at that point, what happened after that?
I'm just going to pause the podcast again and drop another I told you so to my good friends.
I feel like this is peak old man Sean Johnson.
It's so old. I'm like, pretty soon I'm going to yell at you guys to get off my lawn. I'm just having so much fun with this. But okay, sorry for that. So really, though, it's a good thing we paused, right? Because the governor, in fact, issued an executive order calling for a special session of the legislature to pass a bill that would delay Wisconsin's April 7th election, something he has repeatedly said he did not want to do.
Yeah, this is huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bill would essentially move the remainder of the election entirely, almost entirely, to mail-in ballots. It would require the state to send absentee ballots to the millions of registered voters who had not already requested them. And you're talking at like 3.3 million registered voters in Wisconsin, I believe. So this is something that he had talked about, the mail-in election, when we recorded last Friday. Laurel caught it while we were recording last Friday. And Republican leaders pretty quickly rejected that, said it wasn't realistic. And the Elections Commission backed them up on that. They said, we just don't have 3.3 million ballots. What the governor did today, though, was much different. He said not only did he want to move to a mail election. He wanted to delay it until May 19th to give people time to, you know, send them back, give the time, the state time to print these ballots, give people time to send them back and the clerk's time to count them. So a really significant step.
That was the thing, right? Was that critics of the governor, when he came out with the suggestion for an all mail-in election, were saying, we don't have time to print all these ballots and send all these ballots out and then get all of them back. And so that's the big difference here, is that not only would it be an all mail-in election, it would be postponing it, you know, several weeks.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think another important point to bring up, though, is that Republican leaders have said there's not enough time to educate voters about the fact that we're moving this to an all mail-in election and what that means and what the procedures are. They have pointed out that other states that have done this have taken sometimes years to transition from an in-person election to a mail-in election. And so it's just not, I don't think that they would necessarily think that moving it a couple weeks down the road is going to accommodate the kind of requirements that are there, or the needs that are there for voters. And that kind of I'm going to have a Sean Johnson moment and say I told you so, even though the thing I told you was only like 2 seconds ago. That
it's okay once you start. It's like
it's great.
I've broken through that I told you so barrier, and now you're all welcome to do it. It's fine.
It feels awesome. But the leaders were pretty resistant to this new proposal from the governor pretty quickly, honestly, after he issued it this afternoon.
Oh yeah, pretty resistant. I would say. What did they say? Like, here's, I'm just gonna read a quote here real quick. First of all, they say that they keep referring back to Evers. They're like, this is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. They say, we continue to support what Governor Evers has supported for weeks. The election should continue as planned on Tuesday. And then this other quote that they had, hundreds of thousands of workers are going to their jobs every day, serving in essential roles in our society. There's no question that an election is just as important as getting takeout food. So that's where they stand. They just really quickly rejected this idea that the legislature was going to come in on a Saturday and pass the governor's bill.
Because the governor, sorry to cut you off, John, but I feel like we didn't mention that when the governor said he wanted this to happen, he also said he wanted lawmakers to come in on Saturday in a special session to approve it.
Yeah, I mean, just before we get too far ahead of ourselves, what were the reasons that the governor stated for wanting to postpone the election all of a sudden? There were a few things that he was talking about that sort of made him change his position from agreeing with Republican leadership and the legislature about going forward with April 7th to then saying, no, we really actually need to push this back.
So it was kind of a two-part answer from Evers there. He said there has been a surge of cases in Southeast Wisconsin of COVID-19. So that was one part. And then the other part was that the number of polling places where people can vote is shrinking because they don't have poll workers, because poll workers don't want to go be part of a large crowd of people on election day because their government has told them, don't be part of a large crowd of people. So without poll workers, cities like Milwaukee, and not just Milwaukee, but Milwaukee was really pronounced today, have been reducing the number of places where people can vote. If you reduce the number of places where people can vote, the crowds of people that will gather at the remaining polling places will logically be larger. So if Milwaukee goes from 180 voting sites to 5, seems like that's going to increase the prospect of large crowds at these polling places. And so that is, I mean, that's a very real public health factor. If you think COVID-19 is a public health issue, and every public health professional says it is, then what government is doing is saying two things. One, don't be part of these crowds. Two, go vote where these crowds will be. I think that's the end of my answer to my long-winded answer to your question there, John. Sorry.
And so we heard what Leader's response was, essentially, you know, saying elections should be essential if other things are essential, and also pointed out that this is sort of a change from what the governor had been saying for a long time.
Yeah, and it is. It is. I mean, I don't think there's any way that we can say that it's not. Evers seemed to be saying today that, you know, what he's saying is consistent with what he has been saying in the past. And I'm telling you, I have listened to these regular Department of Health Services briefings, like everyone else that covers Wisconsin state government right now. And I've listened to Governor Evers say repeatedly that the April 7th election needs to move forward. You know, that has been his consistent position. It's noteworthy because it's been one of those areas where he's been on the same page as Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. That's kind of rare, especially when other Democrats are telling Evers he needs to delay the election like 3 weeks ago. So it's a definite change for Evers to come out now and say that this election should be delayed. Now, his staff is saying circumstances have changed. You know, that we have more cases now than we had before. We have fewer poll workers than we had before. And, you know, you can't move to a mail-in election now without extending the deadlines. That was something maybe you could have done a while ago. You can't do it now without extending the deadlines. And so that's their case. But the Evers position has definitely changed. And, you know, there's just no way to put that differently.
So I think what's interesting to kind of like dovetail off of that is that when the governor talked to reporters today, he said that if Republican leaders reject his call to, you know, move to an all mail-in election and extend these deadlines, which again was a new call for him, that he was going to take whatever or look at whatever means were necessary to act after that point. So where we're sort of sitting right now is the governor has made this new request. This is something he wants to be done now for an election that is roughly 72 hours away. What is he going to do as an executive, and what can he do to make any changes when lawmakers are kind of pushing back on it?
That is, that's the big question now, because what's happened is initially you had like local leaders asking to delay this election, and Evers said no. So then they sued to try to delay the election. And then a federal court said, look, even if I agree with you, I can't do this. And so then that kind of sent it back to Evers, because the federal judge was very critical of Evers and the Republican legislature for not delaying the election. And Evers said, okay, that's what he said today. Let's hold a special session. Let's delay this election until May 19th. Republican leaders said, no, we're not going to do that. Democracy needs to move forward. And that's the same position you've had for weeks. So now it's back to Evers. What could happen to either this election moves forward on April 7th, and it's going to be weird, be different than anything we've seen before, or Evers can potentially do something that other governors have had and flex that emergency power that he has and try to stop the election kind of unilaterally.
I think that it's sorry to cut you off, Sean, but I feel like that's such an interesting option, because we know that there's been a lot of disagreement over whether the governor's emergency powers actually cover that kind of order. So I think what arguably and realistically could happen if the governor does that is a pretty immediate onslaught of lawsuits, right? That the governor was acting outside of his power to change an election.
Yeah. So we don't know. Maybe this election is going to happen, but I feel like we're already making contingency plans. So just let you in on a little something here, audience. What are we going to do when the governor issues an order that postpones the election? Because we feel like there's a decent likelihood that that could happen. Okay. And if he does that, it's unprecedented. So then, of course, we'd be looking at some kind of a lawsuit, because everything about this election has had at least a few lawsuits, and this sure would too if he did it. Now, if he doesn't take that step, if essentially his spat today between legislative leaders over this special session that's not going to happen, if that's the end of the road, then we're going to have an election on Tuesday, and you know, we'll go from there. But I think it's a very real possibility that the governor does something before then, given that the legislature is not going to and the courts are not going to.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And if we get some sort of indication about it before Election Day on Tuesday, maybe we'll just have to talk about it again.
I'll lead off that podcast with a big I told you so. Whatever happens, I'll just work it in. Even though you guys are so nice, I'll just drop that big obnoxious I told you so to start things off.
We're used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Old man Sean Johnson.
Yeah. COVID times, I'm living up to the label there.
Well, old man Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
And Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you had just a little more time, would you use it catching up on the latest in Wisconsin politics? Well, good news, because you can get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week when you subscribe to the show. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And as always, you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.